Turn with us, please, for our second reading to Joshua chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore, he had Gilead and Bashan. There was also a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh by their families, for the children of Abiezer, and for the children of Helek, and for the children of Azrael, and for the children of Shechem, and for the children of Hepher, and for the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, by their families. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahla, Noach, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father." And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh, beside the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. And the coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmethah, that lieth before Shechem, and the border went along the right hand unto the inhabitants of En-Tappuah. Now Manasseh had the land of Tappuah, but Tappuah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim. And the coast descended unto the river Cana, southward of the river. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh was on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh's, and the sea is his border. And they met together in Asher on the north, and in Issachar on the east. And Manasseh had in Issachar and in Asher Bethshean and her towns, and Ibleam and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Taanach and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even 3 countries. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto?" And Joshua answered them, "If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." And the children of Joseph said, "The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel." And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, "Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." May God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing of his most holy word. So now we move on to Joshua chapter 17. We have looked at Judah. We've looked at Ephraim. Now we go to Manasseh. And first, we have the inheritance of Manasseh that is described. The equity and blessing of the inheritance really comes to mind as you read through it, because the land they were given is a great land in the north country, large enough for 10 tracts of land or lots of inheritance. Now, remember, we had 6 sons of Manasseh, and then we had those 5 daughters, the daughters of Zelophehad, and each of them was given an inheritance. And they were not allowed as daughters of within the tribe of Manasseh to go outside of Manasseh to find themselves husbands. They had to marry within Manasseh so that the land that fell to them would remain within the tract that Moses had given to Manasseh at the hand of the Lord. Remember all of that. And so we see preservation here. We see the preservation of the inheritance. And of course, there's a wide application of that to us today in the preservation of the inheritance of the gospel, the preservation of the inheritance of the truth, right? That part of the reason the Lord gives marriage is that He seeks a godly seed, the preservation of the true religion and the propagation of the church, and so on. So then in the second portion, verses 7 through 13, we have the definition or the description of the coast and the towns, the borders and the towns of Manasseh. And this section ends with a difficult word. And that difficult word is what? That Manasseh did not drive out all of the Canaanites within their borders. You say, well, maybe it was because they were strong. The Canaanites were strong and those of Manasseh were weak. But that's not what the narrative says. The narrative says that they were waxing strong, that is, those of the tribe of Manasseh, that they were strong, and they put them to tribute instead of driving them out. You know what that tells us, right? I mean, think of this and think of the tragedy of it. That they believed that their money was more important than faithfulness to the religion of Yahweh. What did the Lord tell them? The Lord told them, if you don't drive out the Canaanites, that they will be thorns in your sides and goads in your eyes, that they will turn you away from following the Lord. And in turning you away from following the Lord, they will cause you to apostatize and you will bring judgment down upon your heads. And Manasseh said, no, that's not true. Their money's more important. We'll put them under tribute. And we might say that many have fallen upon those rocks. They have run their ship aground on those kinds of rocks, thinking that the Lord wanted them to be well furnished and happy in this world, rather than that He wanted them to be holy and faithful to His commands. The apostle describes that particular attitude in when he's speaking to his understudy Timothy, and he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, literally, that passage ought to be translated, the love of money is the root of all evils. In other words, the love of money can take you into any sin that you want to get, which some, having pursued, have denied the faith or left the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And of course, as we hear about Manasseh later, what do we find out about Manasseh? That he has done exactly that. So they put them under tribute rather than taking care of them according to the command of the Lord. Not because they were weak, because it was in their strength that they did so. But we might say that that strength really was not a godly strength at all. All right, so then we have the last section of the chapter. And the children of Joseph, that is Ephraim and Manasseh, came together, right? And they came to Joshua and they said, you haven't given us enough land. The provision that we have is not enough. Okay, so first of all, they begin the wrong way, don't they? They begin with a complaint. They begin with discontentment. We are a great people, and you've only given us this much. I like Joshua's response. Maybe some of you heard just a hint of irony in it as well. there may be irony. It may be encouragement as well. I think certainly later in the chapter it's encouragement. But at the beginning, he is chiding them a bit for their complaint and murmuring rather than their contentment. And he says, if you're such a great people, then take the woods. In Texas, we say it like this. We say, step on up, big boy. If you are such a great people that this land is not enough for you, the greatness of your nation, then it should provide that it would be no problem for you to head on up into the woods and cut down the trees and settle that land. And then there's a bit bantying that goes back and forth. But then I think Joshua speaks all encouragement later in the chapter. Thou art a great people. Surely, though the Perizzites up there have chariots of iron, that will not be a hindrance to you because you are such a great people. Remember where we have been. Remember what the Lord has done thus far. Surely the hill of the Perizzites is no problem for the Lord and such a great people as you are in Him. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, may I say it this way? Sometimes our spiritual estate is contracted because we say, it's hard. It's going to be a lot of work. You're telling me that the blessing lies out there, but to get there, it's over stones and stocks. It's over difficulty. It's over hill and dale. There's giants out there. There's iron chariots. At such times, we need the voice of Joshua telling us what? Well, let me say it this way to you, brothers and sisters. Thou art a great people in the Lord your God. And He has promised to withhold nothing good from you. He, like Paul says in Romans chapter 8, and hopefully we'll see this verse a little bit later, He who has said, I will give my son for you, will withhold no good thing from your hands. You, in Christ, are a great people. Be encouraged then. Go out and take the wood. No matter there are people with iron chariots there. Thus ends the reading then of Joshua chapter 17.